know about you, but I want to make sure mine are in. Amen. I know you do as well. We need to pray for one another, pray for our families.
Yeah.
Pray that the Lord would touch them forevermore. I'm so thankful that Tanner accepted Christ as his Savior this morning. We had a dedication for the youngest and praise and shouting service for the oldest. Amen. And we look forward to him being baptized very soon. So maybe missing again. I don't know, Pastor. That'll be a great service. But anyway, we look forward to it, and I appreciate that. I know you folks want to hear that great report, but I'm glad he was saved this morning early. Let's go to the Lord again tonight in a word of prayer. Am I missing any announcements that night? Go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service and on the offering tonight. Brother Don, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you, Lord. We come praising your holy name. We come especially tonight praising your holy name for your salvation.
Amen.
Of your
yes.
Name. Lord, we ask that you reach out to our families, those that are not saved. Touch their heart, bring them unto the word, Lord, and get them saved before it's ever too late. We love them and we want them to be in heaven with us. So bless this church. We're growing. A little at a time. That's great. Lord, we ask that you do something else with us. Put it in our hearts to be busy, to work for you, to talk to you, to tell them of God's love for them. See if we cannot get them back in church and get them under your word. Lord, bless our pastor as he stands. Give him the words we need to hear and us ears and hearts to hear and understand. For we ask all these things in Jesus' holy, sweet name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the storm. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, "Where is your faith?" He calls you brave on high, 'cause you held on with all your might. Drown your cries out of one hand, the Master. And he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all your might. Child, your cries out of one hand, the Master. And he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, winds are so deadly, the water's so deep, but try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice in all the seas, because you pray.
I asked Lily earlier this week Well, she sang a special, and so she's going to sing for you. And also, asked Brother Alan Young, talked to him earlier this week, had him on my heart for a couple weeks now to come preach for us. So looking forward to hearing from him in just a moment. But pay attention to the words of this song. It'll mean a lot to you, I'm sure. Let me encourage each and every one of us. Appreciate the good song and the words of that song. He sees what we don't. Let's just pray for our folks here at the church. Really burdened for them. Church, love each and every one of you. kid. We're praying for you. We love you. Brother James and Miss Shirley, if y'all listening, praying for you in the morning. Brother Arnold, praying for you. We got a lot going on. Y'all forgive me, it just hit me. Thank God for the family of God. Amen.
Amen.
We're able to bear each other's burdens. Appreciate the good talent we have here at the church as well. But, all right, well, again, I asked Brother Allen if he'd come for us, and he gladly accepted. So, Brother Allen, you come. This is no new spot for you, brother. You praise God for it.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
It's good to be back home again. Amen. Well, Justin, I hope it's okay. I asked Randy to play a song at the conclusion. It's an appropriate song. It's not AC/DC or anything like that. we had one of our kids. Oh Lord, I'm online. We had all one of our kids come up and said, "Can I go to a party at school?" And I said, "I don't know. Tell me about it." He said, "Oh, it's just a party. It's just a group of kids that made up a band. Kid next door's going. Somebody that we high renown up. And he wants to know if I can just go with him, you know, just kind of hang out a little bit." I said, "Well, it sounds pretty good. It's going to be monitored." "Yes, sir. Yes." "Okay. All right, well, maybe so. They're going to play some AC/DC, too." I said, "Dude, you need to learn not to give so much information about stuff, you know? God. Anyway, Brother Allen mentioned something a while ago about when we get to heaven, the first meeting in years, giving him praise. Amen.
Sure.
That will be a different level of praise.
Yes. Yes.
Here we're limited of what we can give or what we can proclaim towards him. There we're unlimited. Can you imagine? Church services. I'm talking about them showing up good church services lasting for a long time.
Amen.
Amen. You talking about calling preachers from the floor. What about Brother Jeremiah? Would you come and give us a little bit of some of that something going on? You know? Amen. We're going to be primarily in the book of James tonight. Book of James chapter 1, a very familiar portion of scripture. But I'm going to give you a verse over in 2 Corinthians before we get there. And then at the end, I'll give you another verse in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." Seeing we have. The writer here, Brother Harold, is giving a authorship to all those under his hearing. And he's speaking to the church. What he's talking about here is everybody under the church umbrella, Brother Jack, has a ministry.
Right. Yeah.
And you say, "Well, I haven't been called of anything." It don't matter. That verse says you have a ministry. Then it says, "In your ministry, faint not." Well, that tells us he wouldn't put "faint not" unless there's different times during this ministry that we kind of think about fainting. You know? And it also tells me that he gives us the power to get over that when we feel like fainting or stepping aside or taking a breather. Because he said, "Seeing that you have this ministry, faint not." Your choice. Faint not. So I'm thinking, okay, now if we all got a ministry, there's pastors and there's preachers and there's teachers and there's this and there's that and the other and there's deacons, and we just had that. Wonder what in the world he's talking about if he is just giving a general application to the church. When I study, I ask myself stuff. I wonder way too much about things. I chase rabbits like crazy. You know, my middle name ought to be Elmer Fudd. I chase rabbits so much, you know. I'll go in there and in my study, and I'll have a thought, or I'll have some verses, and I'm just going right down the line, and then next thing you know, something happens, and I'll put on some of that little old soft little prayerful music in the back, you know, and next thing you know, I'm way over 100 miles of wherever it was I started to begin with. But that's okay, because tears is just rolling, and I'm thinking, man, what did I do with my notes? I'm just sitting here looking, and that's the sweet stuff. But here lately, I've been thinking about some things that I think America, or I think Christians inside America, needs to take heed of. See, America's in a mess. America's in a mess. And it's the church's fault. I'll just be straight in my opinion. That's the church's fault. We don't do what we're supposed to be. We hadn't been doing what we're supposed to have been doing all along. But the problem is a lot doesn't know what to do. So they said. But I'm under the different impression. I think we do know to do more than what we've been doing. Now, when we get to James is he's a very practical writer. Very practical. But one thing I like about James is he likes him some Word of God. I mean, James loved him some Word. I mean, he applies it. I mean, there's five chapters and 108 verses. In all those 108 verses, Brother Celon, he alludes all the way back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. He gets him some Joshua included there. He goes into some 1 Kings, some Psalms, Ecclesiastes. He gets him some Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And seven out of the 12 minor prophets. He pulls from in 15 connections to the Sermon on the Mount. Brother Don, he loves him some Word, you know? And he's this type of fellow. He's a New Testament writer, but he believes in that Old Testament stuff too. I mean, he done hauls off and goes all the way back and brings some of that stuff out. As if we apply that, as if that's going to help us. So I'm thinking, if he's that knowledgeable in the Word, and if he's thoroughly convinced that that Word can help him, I think I'm just going to push my sleeves up and just dig me into some James a little bit.
Amen.
You know? So when we get over to James chapter 1, all of a sudden he's got this concept too. He's got to say, look, he's talking to a group of people that's supposed to know some stuff. Because he always goes back to things that they should remember. Things that they should apply that have been taught. So that tells me that he's going, hey, there's some things that I know you know, but I don't see that you know it. Because, see, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because obviously he's talking to a bunch of people that he knows what has been taught. He knows what has been preached. He knows what has been laid out in front of them. But somebody somewhere ain't a-doing what they hear. And he's concerned about that. See, America has lost the art of listening. Lost the art of listening. You ever talk to somebody, C-Line, and you know by their expressions, you know they ain't listening to you. They ain't listening. They're just waiting for you to pause so that they can say something else. That's all they're doing. That goes on a lot at the children's home all the time. You know? Obviously, you're not getting what I'm trying to relate to you. You know? But we're not so far off inside the church that way, too. Because, see, I know what's been taught here over the years. I know what's being taught now, today. I know most of you that's bringing up from your little puppies all the way, being little puppies all the way up. I know from your background, from your testimony that I have heard, the stance that you stand on and the belief system of which you bank your faith on. I know what you've been taught. And James is saying, look, there's a lot here lately. I'm just applying it this way. This is what I believe. There's a lot of repentant preaching going on in our nation today, but there's not a lot of repenting. You know what that tells me? They're swift to hear. They're swift to hear, but slow to do. Okay? Did you know there's more going to church today on Sunday mornings than the history of people coming to church, or at least going back to keep records of it. Okay. But yet we are in a spiritual decline. Why is that? We hear. Well, we don't do. James begins to touch on that a little bit. You can hear about a good restaurant, but unless you go sit down and scoot your chair up, it ain't going to do you a lot of good. You know what I'm saying? So James loves him some word. Okay? And one of the reasons is, I think, is we lose our reasoning of which, when we're in a position to hear, we don't reason right. Let me give you an example. Come to hear this preacher over here at this church or whatever. Our church comes in. Maybe somebody never heard me or whatever. And anyway, at the conclusion of today, this is what will probably be said. How'd you like that preacher? But see, most of the time we are measured by the appearance. I hope you don't do that tonight. By the appearance. Okay? Or mannerism. Or delivery, type of delivery. Had somebody at my church come up and said, I love you and I love the services and stuff, but we probably won't be back. Seriously. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Anything wrong? Well, you make me dizzy. Seriously. I promise this is true. You make me a little dizzy. And I just, I have some medical issues and I can't tolerate that. So we're just going to find us another place. For real. And I said, well, I'm sorry. What if I try to do better? He said, well, I don't know. We've been here for a day or two and I don't think it's going to happen. Well, God bless you. I mean, I don't know what to state. God bless you. You see what I'm saying? But sometimes we are measured by the appearance or delivery or speech. Paul was the same way. They said, hey, this dude talks funny, you know? And they was judging him on just the way he was talking. But I don't think it was so much of how he was saying stuff based on other than what he was saying. Kind of got him ruffled a little bit. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't never heard somebody say, man, did you hear that song? I did. I just don't like that piano part on that last verse. It just didn't sound right. Never heard anybody say that, but they always say, man, that was a beautiful song. You know why? They listened to the words. Instead of going up and saying, what do you think about that preacher? What about this? What if you go up and say, hey, what part of the message that impacted you the most? Amen. See what I'm saying? See the difference? See, we're coming in and the enemy's got our mind going in one direction to the other when it should be the word of God only. Amen. I've seen some preachers that, like myself, wasn't much to look at. But I tell you what, I walked out of there changed. Amen. I walked out of there going, man, that was good. I didn't know that. I'm going to go home and do some studying, you know? Right. So I like that. I like that part about that. But that's the state America is in today. Yes. We get our attention by our appearances and our voice. Maybe a sad story here or there to bring a tear of joy or remorse or sorrow or whatever. Say, well, he was good, wasn't he? And it was just a sad story. Yeah. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying James, out of 108 verses, he sure did allude to the word of God a bunch. Now, I know everything he wrote was the word of God. I know that. But I'm talking about what he was pulling from, Brother Jack, was giving him some gas on what he was writing. See, the word of God, we build on top of one another. Okay? And when you build on top of it, you're structurally sound, by the way. All right? Anyway, James says, I know you know some stuff. And in chapter 1, he recaps some of that. He talks about, in chapter 1, he says, hey, when you have, this is what you should know. This is what you should apply. When you're confused, when you're in disarray, when bad things happen, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this. How did they know? They've been taught. Yes. How did they know what he's meant by that? Knowing this, that How did they know that? They heard. He knew what's been preached to them. But yet, the reason why he's preaching to them now is because they're not applying it. They're not applying it. Then when he gets down through there, and he says, hey, also knowing where your riches come from, I know all of you do. Talks about where, if you're looking, let's just say verse 9, let the brother low degree rejoice, for he's exalted. And he keeps on going. He goes from the lowest monetary wise all the way up to the richest. And he said, I know that you know where all this comes from. He knows what they've been taught. Okay? And he said, do not err about something. Now, let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit, I mean, everything that God says, I mean, that's something we need to pull from. But when he says, don't mess this up right here, that means you better pay attention to it. And he gives us the genealogy of sin. He starts out about being enticed and being drawn away. Drawn away from what? The Word. And the end result of that is sin, which ends up as death. He says, I know that you know about this genealogy of sin in your life. I know that. Then he covers the generosity of God. He says, I know that you know the origin of your salvation. The Bible says, where it was in verse, let me find it. Of his own will. Well, first of all, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. The who, what, when, where, and why about your salvation. Yes. It's coming from above. It's coming from the Father. How? By his will. And the result. What's the result? What's the end result? So that you may be first fruits of his creatures. First fruits for what? Somebody's got to take the lead of something.
Right.
What is that something? Your ministry. Your ministry. Because everybody's got a ministry, right? But sometimes we don't know we have a ministry until we see it explained in the Word of God. We have a ministry. And then when it's explained, then we look back and start connecting the dots from the time we got saved. It starts making sense. But I don't really know how to apply it. So how do I apply it? We look up and we look at the first fruits. They are setting the pace. They are setting the order. They are setting the example. And thus on and on from one generation to the next. You see what I'm saying? In America, we've lost a generation.
Yes.
We've lost a generation. And the reason being, we're not doing a very good job of handing down stuff. You know what I'm saying? So where does the fault lie? The fault lies since everybody's going to church, apparently, and it's just going to hell in a handbasket, apparently. The fault lies in the fact that, hey, you know what you're being taught. It is the Word of God. You're just not applying it. It's just not being applied. Does that make sense? Just not applied. He says, be swift to hear, but we got to be careful when we are swift to hear. On account of, if we're not careful, we'll have just a kind of a casual observance to this thing. Now, I'm trying to get somewhere, so hopefully you'll know it in a minute. But James presents us two attitudes here. We're going to look at both of them. Time permitting. You got you unblessed and you got you blessed. Let me read these verses 22 through 25. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now let me ask you something. Who all here wants to be blessed of God? Ain't that a crazy question? Huh? Do you want a blessing today? I don't know. What are you talking about? Sometimes blessings means youngins. So we got to be careful about that. Just kidding. So if I was to say who all wants to be blessed, so if I see a direction the Holy Spirit's going, and he's laying out a avenue of which the end result of the end road is blessed in your deed, blessed in your ministry. Larry, I want to get in on that. I want to figure out what in the world is he saying do so that we get to be blessed in our ministry. Now, there's different kinds of blessings, right? Different kinds of blessings. And when we get through, hopefully, I'll show you what this one means that really, really, really blessed my heart. Okay? But let's get back to find out this casual observance. Let's get back to see what his problem is. But when he says, first of all, in verse 22, he says, but it, be ye doers of the word. Well, that word at be ye is genomai. It's the Greek word genomai, and it means to become. It means to start. It actually means to arise. To arise. Okay? Now, the word arise is connected to when Jesus rose from the tomb. Now, when Jesus rose from the tomb, he went from death unto life, correct? So it's like James is saying, we got to cover some bases first before you're going to be blessed in anything that you do. First of all, you have to become somebody. Well, who's he talking to? He's talking to the family of God. He's talking to the church of God. So James says the very first thing, you got to make sure you're in the family. Be, rise up, get up. Now, you could preach it that way, Jack, and it would preach. It would work. I mean, you can't be blessed by God and do things that God gives you power to do if he does not live in you. It's just you can't do it. So James is saying, first of all, you got to be, become, arise, rise up. Or it could be there's some things you didn't know. There's some things that that God is laying out in front of you, causing you to scratch your head and say, man, I didn't know that. Well, what do I do now? James is saying, you can start today. You can start today. Be, rise up, get up. I've coached a lot of ball, and the motivation is a lot before, especially a football game or even a baseball game, scoring what the competition is, you know. You have to be that motivational type. You have to get up there and say, hey, man, you got this. Visualize. Think in your head that you're going to do this. See the ball coming. See that perfect swing. See that zone swing. See that connection. See yourself doing it. Be prepared for battle. One of our kids just the other day, we had a playoff game yesterday in football. Call him over there. I said, hey, dude, I need to get you started getting your mind right. He said, looked at me like, what? Just get your mind right, man. He's a running back. Does good. Does well. I said, look, man, you got some plays that the coach is going to call for you. You got some plays. You got to visualize yourself so that you don't fumble, how you take that ball out perfectly. You got to see yourself do it before you do it. Amen. You got to put it away. You got to hit that hole. And you got to see that linebacker coming in. And you got to see yourself in slow motion doing this or that, because there's that one guy. Everybody else is matched up, but that one guy, you got to miss. That one guy you got to miss.
Right.
You have got to visualize that. You know what I said? That's not my style. I said, how long you been playing ball? 2 years. I said, man, you can't even spell style yet. I mean, that's not your style. He said, that's just not what I do. When I get the ball, I just run. I said, is that your football play? You get in the huddle and they say, give Christian the ball. Is that the play? No, sir. I said, of course it's not. That coach has got a play, has got a pattern, has got something that he has thought about and wooed over and said, look, if we apply this, the outcome should be victory.
Yes.
But when we don't prepare ourselves, when we say, oh, I got this, when we think, oh, that's no big deal, when you say, oh, that's not my style, I just kind of freestyle everything, the end result will be defeat, which was what happened yesterday. Be active, be alive, rise up, be aware. Keep your head on a swivel. You've been blindsided. You ever watch a kid be blindsided, a blindsided block on a football field? Oh, it's pretty to watch. But I guarantee you that kid learned something. You know what he learned? I better start being aware of what's around me because it is a battle out here. Same way in our Christian life, guys. We're in a battle. We got to walk around. We got to, every morning with our head on a swivel. We got to rise up. We got to start the day seeing the fact that we got to be in victory formation. We got to make sure that we get the plan from our coach. We got to make sure that we got this prepared plan, something that he has thought about, something that he has wooed over, something that he has set aside and designed just for you in mind. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. That's not my style. Go sit down. But it's be ye. See, a stranger has no authority in obedience to someone else's child. You know why? Because that child looks at that stranger and says, "Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to try to direct me? On account of, I have not seen any blood, sweat, and tears from you towards me." You see what I'm saying? So therefore, when we come to church and we come in and we listen, and all of a sudden God gives a direction, God gives a play. There's some things in there that the Bible says you need to stop doing. There's some things in there that you need to start doing. There's some things that you can pull from your filing system up on. But you know what? But if we have the mindset of, what is this to tell me what to do? You see what I'm saying? That tells you, or that tells us, that this person is not in the family. This child is not connected to the authority figure on account of, there's no family connection. You see what I'm saying? Why should I do that? I'm not doing that. That dude's up there screaming, hollering, sweating. I'm not doing that. He don't know me. You see what I'm saying? That's widespread, by the way. You know why I know that? Because we're getting worse. If more people is sitting under the word and we're getting worse, then that just means that more people are hearing but not applying.
Yes.
Not doing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. James, and I'll tell you what else it means. I love that little blue letter Bible. You ever look at that? That little blue letter Bible, you click on that little word, it just tells you all kind of stuff. Some of that small print stuff. Some of that stuff you got to blow up, see, in order to see it. You know what I'm saying? It gives you a lot of information. It also gives us a term of that. It says to be assembled, partake. It means to be willing to be shown. And I wrote the word coachable. You gotta be coachable. Gotta be coachable. Okay. Well, how do we grow? How do we grow then? If there are some things that James says that we gotta do, how do we grow in order to stabilize, in order to do that? How do we grow? It's not the Baptist exercising. It's not sidestepping issues and jumping to conclusions and running people down. It's actually applying what we hear to something. God always does this. God says, man, I got something big time for you. I mean, it'd just blow your mind if you knew what I had for you. But I got to make sure you're willing to do the little things I ask you to do first. Because if I can trust you with some little stuff, man, we're going to big time place. Okay? I mean, if you pull Peter off to the side and says, Peter, let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you're going to preach and 3,000 people is going to come to know me. Are you willing to do whatever I ask? He'd say, yes, sir, whatever it is you want to do. But he didn't start out that way. You know what he started out with? Peter, Charlie, he come up and he says, Peter, can I borrow your boat? Can I borrow your boat? Sure. He said, now, Peter, just push off a little from into the deep. Into the deep. Peter, where I want to carry you is not shallow water stuff. I know this church. This church will not preach you shallow water stuff. The deep things of God. Well, what is the deep things of God? Well, I don't know exactly what it is per se at each and every one of your ministry, but Peter's was this. Peter, cast your net on this side of the boat. And he says, God, we've already done that. I mean, I'm a fisherman. I've been here all night long. We've done everything that you're saying to do last night, and we have caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word.
Yes.
That's the key.
Amen.
The word of God. Oh, I need some help over here. Wonder what the difference was between last night and tonight. Tonight, they knew God said, do it. That's the only difference. Didn't do anything different from one night to the next other than they applied when God said, do it. Okay? Anyway. When it's the be ye, is the verb tense there is a continuous action. He says, rise up, start today, be somebody, go from death under life, or just raise up, get your head on a swivel, and know that you're in a battle, and understand what the play is. And it's not that one play and it's over, it's continuous. Coach, what's the next one? Because every play, Alan, is not designed for a touchdown. It's really not. All that big cards over there on the coach's side, he's got plays for 3 yards. He's got plays for 5 yards. He's got plays for 20 yards when it's 3rd and 18, you know? I mean, he's got Hail Mary for the touchdown, but you know what that is? That's just a hope and a prayer. That's not a designed pattern to get you to where he wants you to be. It's the little plays along the way. And he says, first downs. And he says, in order to do that, you got to trust me. Coach, why'd you call that call? Trust me. What was it, Kirby? Trust the process. Trust the process. And he said, but here's what I want to get to. Here's what I want to get to. Be ye doers. That word doers, now let me tell you something. What I've told you so far sounds kind of good. I don't know too many people who would not want to jump on board with that. Oh, I'll do that. I'll find out what God wants me to do, and I'll just, okay, God, you can count on me. I'll do that. Be ye doers. But see here, the word doer right there, Brother Jack, is in masculine form. It's hard. It's hard to do. It's not you're just going to wake up and whistle it into effect. Because if you're going to fulfill the ministry of which God called you to do, there's going to be some blood, sweat, and tears involved. You just don't, turn a ship in a pond. Okay? It's masculine. It's hard. It's heavy. It's a big request, I know. But let me tell you what, it is the word poentes. Poentes. P-O-I-A-T-A-I. Poentes. It's used 6 times in the New Testament, 4 of these times in the book of James alone. And that always gets me curious. Man, James like him some poentes. You know? What in the world's poentes? All right. Here's the word, be ye doer. Don't hear only, be ye doer. It is a word, Jason, where we relate our word poet to poem. Poem. That don't make a lick of sense, does it? Poem? Well, I found you on up to there. And by the way, look at that tie you got on. I ain't listening to you, you know? It's the word poem. Author. I'll be honest with you, I said, well, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to explain that. I mean, the simple thing is just do what you asked. Just do what you asked. Just whatever it is, just do what you asked. But it's a, but no, this is deep water. It's not shallow water. This is deep water stuff. It's a word poem. My mind goes back to everyone. He's talking to the church. There's obviously someone's hearing and not doing some doing. What's his big concern? He has a heart for the people, but he knows the end result or the effects could be an end result chaos. Something in God's plan is not going to happen if you don't get this, says James. Poem. And I got to thinking, this just this week, Pat and I had to go on a little pickup. Very, 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 very pretty lady. She was 77 years old. Very classy. Very classy lady, elderly lady. And she shared this. She says, I wanted to give all you guys this. And then she showed us a little book. She wanted us to put on display a little thing at the office. And she says, I just lost my daughter, 40 years old. And she says, it's the worst thing I've ever done. And she says, for a long time, I wanted to go be with her because I just couldn't make it here. And she said, I really didn't know this, but she said, but I was cleaning out her room, and I found stacks and stacks and stacks of poems that she had written. And she said, what I've done, and she was an artist. She said, what I've done is I've put together like in a little book, and I can share it with others. Because if you look through there in the contents, it was about life experiences. It was about the hardships here and hardships, things that she thought, things that got her, and she was a Christian, things that got her over the hill. You see what I'm saying? It's what she said. She says, I just hope as other people read this, it will help them along the way. And I thought, thank you, Lord. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. He's going to let me tell you something. He said, don't just be in here just to hear something. Apply what you know. Apply what you've been taught. Apply, go all the way back from the first time you got saved, from this experience and that letdown and that hardship and that grievous time and that enjoying time and that rejoicing time, and look it up, because it all comes down from the Father of lights. Everything comes from above. That's what James says. He said, but you know what? Use that as your ministry. Use that as a poem. And every one of you guys in here tonight, just the things that I know about you, is in the position to write such a beautiful poem. Such a beautiful poem. Brother Larry, you got poems to write. Yeah. I know. I mean, you got poems to write. You shared your testimony. You got some things that would help people along the way that's not as strong as you, that has struggled like you have. But yet, all of a sudden, they come to a place to where they just absolutely don't know what to do. And you say, I'm not a good writer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real life poem. Amen. Just to be able to watch you. Just to be able to drive by and say, man, there's Larry's truck on Sunday night down there. You know what you're doing? You're writing a poem. You're writing a poem. And I can look around, and Miss Glenda went through a hardship that a parent should never have to go through. That's a poem you could write. That's a poem you could write. I don't know how that we talk sometimes and we laugh after dealing with something like that, but there's something about you that is able to laugh. You know what you're doing? You're writing a poem.
Yes.
You're writing a poem. God said, don't be swift to hear. Don't be a casual observance of the word. Just don't be a sponge. Don't sit there and take it all in and then have to have somebody come and squeeze it out of you. You ever had those? If you hadn't, you will. I'm talking about somebody say, oh man, I'll do anything you want me to do as long as you'll pat me on the back in front of people and telling everybody I'm doing it. You know? They absorb it, but you have to squeeze them to get it out. You know what I'm saying? Or like one of those hourglasses goes in one side and comes right out the other. You know? Now be a sifter. Be one of those that sifts out the bad stuff. I know my mannerism's not that great, and I know my English is terrible. My composition professor told me in Bible college, if you just won't write like you talk, you'll be okay. For real. But I'm saying this, and just looking around your room, Brother Don, you've got poems to write, man. Life-like poems, you know? Brother Jason, you do. Struggles of ministry coming out, going from one place and being all excited about this, and all of a sudden the rugs be pulled out from under. There's other preachers, other pastors that's going to come behind you. They're going to need an example. They're going to need somebody to say, hey, I know somebody who made it through going through the same stuff I did. I don't know everything I'm supposed to do, but I know him, I know her, I know him, and until I learn myself, only thing I have to do is just read the poems. be ye. Wake up, rise up, start today. Be ye a poem for the ministry of God. For the ministry of God, be ye a poem. But the only way that we're going to know to do that is to know things by putting ourselves in a position to hear the word of God. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, right here at this place. You want to make it a part of your life, part of your destiny, part of your poetic book. Where are you going? I'm going to church. Why? I got to see if I can find me some stuff. I got to listen to some stuff to help me write some more poems. I didn't know you was a writer. Oh, just watch me for a little while. You'll see. You know, that's the only way we're going to grow in this grace. That's the only way we're going to grow together. We build off of one another. We build off of one another. It says, not hearers only. Not hearers. The word not hearers is where we get our word auditor from. Auditor. So what in the world is an auditor? Auditor is these birds that comes in class. And they sit and they listen to everything, but they don't take the test. They don't take the test. They just sit in on account to get some extra credit here or there, or whatever the case may be, or I don't know, they just sit there and they come test time, I don't have to take it. Come term paper time, you got to have 7 pages on this. You got to have 5 pages on it. You got to do this. And it's got to be in this type of style, the Turabian style. And they just sit there and go, I ain't got to do all that. Why? Because I'm an auditor. I'm just listening in. I have no responsibilities. You know? My brother Larry, come graduation day, though. Come graduation day, when they're calling out those names, and the teacher gives out the reward of the efforts.
Amen.
You know, that name's not called. Why? Because they just sat there. They didn't apply. They just sat there. Be ye doers of the word and not just an auditor. No diploma. Every pastor knows auditors. It says deceiving yourselves. The word deceiving yourself is an accounting term. It's miscalculated. You're miscalculating, or to use the phrase I use over at the children's home, have you lost your ever-loving mind? You're miscalculating. You know? He says you're in the position to add it up. You see the situation you're in. You see what brought you here. And it's direct opposite of everything the Word of God has tried to teach you, but yet you want to act ignorant as if you don't know what in the world's going on. And yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You've been an auditor instead of an applicator. Is that a name? I usually generally use Tammy as that a word or not, because when she goes, that means I messed up. But you know what? The majority of the folk, they'll go, like, hey, I'm good. I'm good. You know? They know what I'm saying. All right. But a man thinks, but it doesn't. Did you know Satan's the deceiver? That's his job, to deceive you. Matter of fact, I think it's in the book of Revelation, he'd say where he said he's the deceiver of the whole world. So we got this enemy out there that's out to deceive us, right? I mean, he's got his own game plan. He's out to deceive us. But here's another problem. The Bible says that people around us are out to deceive us too. The Bible says you better watch every man, for they are deceivers. Man, that kind of narrows it in down on me a little bit worse. You know what I'm saying? I got the enemy, I know that. But now I got to watch. The Bible says I got to watch circumspectly. About these birds that's trying to put in the city. So it looks like I've just got me to count on. Not necessarily. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah something, that your heart is deceitful. Now I'm all messed up, Alan. I know I got the enemy after me. I know I got these little birds with little beady eyes. Jude says, you better watch them people that creep in unawares. You know? You got these little beady-eyed folks around. They watching me, just being able to say, oh, look at him, he messed up. I knew it. Everybody look at it. You got that. Then you think, well, I got me. No, you can't bank on me.
Right.
You can't bank on you. Because your heart is deceitful. Man, where am I going to turn to then?
The Word.
The Word. Matter of fact, I know somebody called the Word, don't you? Amen. Somebody I know called the Word. See, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because the man can see, the man looks, but he doesn't see. He says he beholdeth himself. Here we see a man in front of a mirror, but he is beside himself. He hadn't calculated it right. He's not logical. He gives a reflection and he can't get away from self. It is someone hearing or being around the Word of God, but is making an illogical choice not to apply it. That's the picture here. The Bible says his natural face. The word natural is Genesis. Genesis. It gives us the genealogy of where we come from. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Mm-hmm. So we come from sin. We come from the bloodline of Adam. We come from a bloodline of sin. It's the face of birth, face of creation. He remembers and knows who he really is. And here's the problem. He's okay with it. Oh, I see who I know. But you know what? I mean, all that old people down there, that's okay. That's just not me. I mean, I enjoy being around them. I've got to be around them because I got to explain why I'm not there if I'm not there. And I'd rather just go than have to explain all that. But I'm okay where I'm at. James says that's the problem. We're okay where we at. We'll skip that other part right there. This man hears, but he doesn't act. Bible said he goeth his way. As soon as the hearer sees his face in that mirror of who he really is, and he understands his condition, he doesn't linger for treatment. He gets out of there. No. He left for the purpose of forgetting. See, guys do this. I do this. Denial. Just keep denying it. It'll go what? You know, girls are not like that, or my wife not. She worries about stuff like I'd say, really? Really? I just like pretend like it's not there. But two or three days later, I'm going, I get this, I told you, you know. But it's just tonight, it's not important. That doesn't apply to me, okay? But look in verse 25. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, the duty of looking attentively into the word of God, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law, the word looketh means it's stronger. It's a stronger look, Charles, than verse 23 look. Stronger. It is the same word that the Holy Spirit used when Peter went in and inspected the empty tomb. Everything hung in that balance of the explanation of that empty tomb. So don't you think when he was in there, he studied that thing a little bit? It means to stoop down, to get close enough to see. James is saying, look, this is what I'm trying to teach you, says James. When it comes to the Word of God, always show up with that book open, ready to stoop down and look intently as if heaven itself determined the outcome, because it does. It does. Not just a casual observance, but to look intently into it. Okay. I won't go into that just for time's sake. I won't go into that. Verse 25. The perfect law of liberty. Perfect means finished. The perfect law means finished. James is saying, hey, those of you that think that you need to look somewhere else to add something to it or go somewhere to a place that takes away from it, you're chasing the wrong rabbit up a tree. This is the perfect law. It is finished. Nothing added or nothing taken away. The law, it means all established. Not a pick and choose type of law, by the way. You just don't just read it and apply it, and your pastor preaches it, and he sticks on something. You say, uh-oh, he's been peeping in my window. Somebody's been talking to him. And you say, but I'm just not, I do all this other stuff good. I just don't think I'm going to fixate on this one right now. That word law means all of it. All of it. But here's the kicker. Perfect law of liberty. Freedom. Almost the opposite of the law. Freedom. You say, so Brother Allen, you telling me that if I apply the word of God, I am free to do whatever I want to do? Let me tell you something. In my opinion, yeah. Hear me out before you shoot me. For someone with the motivation and the understanding is that we have a ministry. We have a ministry to be a life-like poem around for those that is not on the same level of maturity, spiritual maturity, as we are. Someone that doesn't have a pastor. Someone that doesn't have family members that can pray over them and stuff. But I'm talking about those that just see a difference in us. If we have that right motive to understand that we have a ministry, and we come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we open that book and we stoop down to look intently to the perfect law, and all of a sudden our will, our desire changes, and it becomes His will and His desire. And then everything that we do is prayed over. Everything we do is we can comply, thus saith the Lord God. And then next thing you know, we are walking God right in the center. If His will, then our desires change, our wants change. And all of a sudden now you're saying, so you can do anything you want? Yes, you can. On account of what you want to do now is the will of God.
Amen.
Your life now portrays over exhorting Him. But just being a doer. By being a poem. Now here's what I want to get to, the word blessed. And it says this man shall be blessed in his deed. Not for his deed, in his deed. And I know the word blessed is happy. I know that. You'll be happy. You'll be happy. Everybody will go home. You'll be happy. You want to be happier? Everybody wants to be happier. We'll just do that. You're good. Go home. There's more to it than that. But when you dig down deep into it, I've got this little Zodiate study Bible, and it has these little numbers out beside that word blessed, and you can flip over to the back. I just double checked, flipped over to the back right there, and it gives this thing right here. It gives an enlonged application of poetical authorship. God says, let me tell you how I'm going to bless you, Miss Glenda. I'm going to make you a poem writer. I'm going to make you an author that other people will read. And you say, well, I understand that, but that's a lot of tears. That's a lot of stuff for me to have to go through on account of for other people. And you're saying it could be outside my family. Are you telling me that it could be people that I don't even know? Yeah. Oh, they might know you, but you might not know them that personally. Now, we'll get back to 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. What is the ministry that we're supposed to do? We're supposed to apply what's been taught. We're supposed to apply what the Word of God teaches us and is preached to us. We're supposed to grow in grace on account of we have a ministry. And if you look, I thought I could quote the verse a while ago, but now I can't. So I'm going to look back to it. It says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall rise up also by Jesus shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. You mean the tears that I shed for your sake. I didn't choose that. I know why I got to do it. Because you're a poem.
Yes.
A lot of things God allows to happen on account of he can't trust other people for it to happen too.
Right.
And still hang on to him and be that poem writer.
Right.
You know? He can. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. I might be wrong. I think a lot of us is going to be wrong about things about heaven. I think we're going to get up there and go, oh. But that verse right here says, so that the thanksgiving of many may redound, basically, to his for his glory. I think one of these days, as we're poem writers, we got that life-like poem of living and people reading it and studying it and stooping down and looking at it and it's drawing up. Man, what is it? How did he make it? How did they go? How is she smiling? How is she laughing? And then we find out it's to the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that peace, without that comfort, without that power within us, we flatly couldn't make it. But all of a sudden, when we get to heaven one day, and when all the rewards are there, just maybe, God says, and by the way, awesome ministry you had down there. I want to show you something. For the thanksgiving of many. All of a sudden you see that one and that one and that one and that one and that one.
Amen.
And they say, thank you. I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
If you didn't allow yourself to write that poem of your life. Thank you. Be ye doers and not hearers only. A lot of folk. Brother Randy, if you'd start that, this is just a little song I think would apply to a message.